This is the Daily Ebola Update from VOA Africa.
This is Jackson Vunganyi with the roundup of important events and information about the Ebola crisis from Africa, the U.S., and the world. A portable diagnostic test for early and fast detection of the Ebola virus is being tested in Guinea, the first country struck by the devastating virus that has killed more than 5,400 people in West Africa. If trials are successful, the UK-based Wellcome Trust says the device, which is called Ebola Check, can be carried to underserved rural areas to identify the virus within 15 minutes. The solar-powered suitcase laboratory is being tested by researchers at the Pasteur Institute of Dakar, Senegal. The research is funded by the UK Department of International Development and the Wellcome Trust Fund. A similar device was developed by a microbiologist at Tulane Medical School and funded by the U.S. National Institutes of Health and a Colorado drug company. The company is waiting for U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval. The Wellcome Trust is also supporting Ebola research to predict the geographic spread of the virus and predict the increase or decrease in outbreaks to plan for available treatment centers. President François Hollande of France visited Guinea as health officials there complained about poor coordination of aid efforts to their country. France pledged $125 million to aid the Ebola fight in Guinea, a former French colony. Mr. Hollande is the first head of a non-African state to visit West Africa since the Ebola virus outbreak began. He arrived in Conakry to support the local effort to contain the virus. He was en route to Dakar, Senegal, for a summit of French-speaking West African countries. In England, the celebrity fashion model Naomi Campbell launched a temporary enterprise in London to raise money to contain the Ebola virus in West Africa. Campbell persuaded Victoria Beckham, Christian Louboutin, Gabbana, and other major designers to donate custom fashions to be sold for Campbell's Ebola Fund.
You're listening to Ebola Updates from VOA Africa.
The number of U.S. health workers volunteering to go to West Africa to fight the Ebola outbreak is on the decline. The U.S. Agency for International Development says application from volunteers has dropped for about 17% since the end of October. A top U.S. doctor blames that on the way health workers are treated when they return home. He says isolating them discourages others from going to Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Dr. Paul Biedinger is director of the Emergency Preparedness Response Exercise Program at the Harvard School of Public Health. He spoke to VOA's Jody Kapwa about the treatment of American health workers who return from West Africa.
We know that the most important thing to respond to the crisis in Africa right now is to help augment the existing healthcare workforce because we know that there are not enough healthcare workers. And we know that there now is evidence that fewer healthcare workers are signing up to volunteer to go after having seen how other healthcare workers have been treated. To make them feel stigmatized, to make them feel like public health enemies when they are doing a very noble thing, trying to go and save lives, I think is really the wrong approach. Clearly, we do want to protect public health. We want to make sure that people don't contract Ebola secondarily. But there's very good science how to protect against that. And if we follow that science, we can support our healthcare workers and help them feel confident they can go over and help, but return safely and not be stigmatized.
So how should they be treated when they arrive back home?
First off, they should be treated like the heroes that they are. They are selflessly giving of themselves. This is a long deployment for most of them. They go for usually at least 6 weeks, if not actually longer, 8-9 weeks. That's very disruptive. It's a hard, hard condition to be in. Obviously, the outbreak is really awful. And they're working under some terribly, terribly strenuous conditions. When they come back, we should be very grateful for their service. They're doing the most noble work there is. They're saving lives. And they're putting themselves, frankly, at risk. And even though the non-governmental organizations that are over there have worked so hard to minimize that risk, to augment their training, to make sure they've got the best possible personal protective equipment, it's clearly a risky situation. There's no question that, again, we do need to protect public health overall. And so those workers who are returning need to be screened and need to be checking their fever and need to know how to stay away from others if they develop any symptoms at all. But we know for sure that you do not transmit Ebola if you don't have symptoms. And therefore, anyone who comes back without symptoms is absolutely not a risk to the public health in any way.
So it's best, in your view, to have them self-monitor for any possible signs of Ebola?
So the CDC has put forward very good criteria, which is that they do self-monitoring, but if they have had direct contact with patients with Ebola, they are unfortunately at somewhat elevated risk of potentially contracting the disease as compared to someone just in the general population. So working with health departments, working with health authorities to either self-report their temperature, meaning check in twice a day with the health department, or have the health department actually physically check on them, I think either of those is very reasonable. But more the idea of draconian restrictions on liberty, quarantining someone in a healthcare facility when they're not ill, or quarantining someone involuntarily completely at home for the full 3 weeks doesn't make sense.
Do you think the fear level that you've seen in this country has been unreasonable?
I think absolutely people have been very afraid, and that's because this is a new disease with respect to the American population. Frankly, it was a new disease with respect to the West African population, which is one of the unfortunate reasons I think it spread as much as it did. The honest answer is that this is a disease that's been around since the 1970s. We know how it's transmitted. We know how to keep people safe. And since we do know how to keep people safe, we shouldn't unnecessarily limit people's liberty when they're going to try and do the right thing, because they just don't represent a threat to the public health.
How important is it for international healthcare workers to be in West Africa?
It's incredibly important. We know for sure that there are not enough doctors and nurses in West Africa right now. And other nations have really done a remarkable job of trying to help support healthcare workers. The European Union has actually put together a special medical evacuation program in case someone were to become ill in West Africa so that they would be evacuated to tertiary care hospitals in either Africa or elsewhere in the world. And they are paying for that themselves as a sign of their commitment to ensuring adequate healthcare staff go and volunteer. So there unfortunately are not sufficient doctors and nurses that are well trained in that area that can respond to the outbreak. They need outside help right now, and that's what we should be trying to support.
We've heard that some who are evacuated from West Africa and brought to the United States for treatment often have to foot the bills themselves for those evacuation flights. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about that. Again, one of the amazing things I think about the European Union decision is that they are footing the bill. They are offering to foot the bill to get the volunteers back to Europe. It's a tremendous commitment. We've heard discussions of similar potential issues, I believe, from U.S. agencies. And that represents a tremendous commitment because although the chance of becoming infected is low, it is a real chance. And it's obvious that healthcare workers would like to know that they can receive the best possible care if, God forbid, they become ill. But ultimately now, I think we're seeing a wonderful movement towards offering additional security to aid workers so that they can respond, know that they will be protected, and know that they won't have extraordinary costs if they have to be evacuated.
What lessons have been learned from the Ebola crisis that might be applied to future outbreaks from some different disease?
I think it's too early, unfortunately, to say if the lesson has been learned, but it's that we have to pay attention to outbreaks like these early and try and enhance our aid response early. Organizations such as Doctors Without Borders were asking as early as March for a robust international health response, and unfortunately, that didn't happen for a very, very long time. I really would hope that as a global community, we've learned some lessons about this. I think, unfortunately, we won't know until the next outbreak whether we've actually learned this lesson.
Dr. Paul Biedinger is director of the Emergency Preparedness Response Exercise Program at the Harvard School of Public Health. For all the latest information on the Ebola crisis, listen to the news on VOA Africa 24 hours a day or tune into our special Ebola updates Monday through Friday. You can also visit our website at www.voanews.com. For mobile users, the website is ebola.voanews.com.